Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Mary Griffith Show for this warm Wednesday, July the 9th. Scott Hardy, yes, that's me sitting in for Mary. And, of course, the Mary Griffith Show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, distributed by Refreshment Services Pepsi. Premier coffees roasted and delivered in small batches with such blends as Signature Blend French Roast, Colombian Supreme, Kona Blend, and much, much more. You can have it delivered directly to you or get it wherever you get your coffee at convenience stores around the area to get that rich, sophisticated, delicious coffee experience. Speaking of a rich, sophisticated experience, it's Laura Sievert Hesseltine with Arts Quincy. Good morning.
Well, was that the best lead-in I think I've had in a really long time?
I try.
Usually I come in here and Mary's in here and she just makes fun of my Iowa mug. But here I am and that wasn't even the experience. Yeah.
Well, I value you, Miss Sievert Hesseltine, so I wanted you to know that.
I want to say you also led in with talking about Refreshment Services Pepsi, and I got to give an extra sponsor shout-out on them. We are, of course, you may have already heard, Arts Quincy is doing a fundraiser, and we're doing Quincyopoly. We are selling a really cool Quincy-themed Monopoly game. The games will be $40. They'll get here before Christmas, but we're taking pre-orders now. And Refreshment Services Pepsi and I were just talking about whether we put the time for Pepsi sign up there or if we do like the branding stuff with Harvest Ridge and their other major brands. And I think we're going to end up with the time for Pepsi sign on the board because it's pretty iconic, right?
You have to.
You
yes.
kind of have to.
Yes.
We're doing so many cute things with the sponsors that we have. We've got realtors that want to be a part of it. It's a real estate game, you know.
Sure.
So I got to think.
Sure.
Jeremy Farlow is like right on it.
Right.
We got the banks. The banks will be the banks. Our local mm-hmm. banks will be the banks. One of my favorites. What was I going to say? Oh, so there's the place where normally it's a little diamond ring on the Monopoly board. Emerald mm-hmm. City Jewelers, of course, coming on to sponsor that space. But you can get this with all of these like iconic Quincy locations. Oh, and the Knapheide is our major sponsor. And guess what we did for that?
What are you going old school Knapheide or more modern?
We're doing a little blend of both.
Okay.
For our top sponsor, but we're one of the little pieces will be a Knapheide truck. One of the
nice.
Little, like, instead of thimble or whatever.
Nice.
I'm pretty stoked about it.
I have two suggestions specifically to Calftown.
Oh.
A little calf or a goat with a rope around its neck.
Okay.
And a metal bucket of beer.
I mean, yeah.
Those were both pretty prevalent back in the day.
Yeah, I know. We do have Dick Brothers Brewery. They'll be on there so far. I only have, if you're a business looking for a spot on our board, I think I only have like 6 spots left. So do give me a call soon. We didn't make the sponsors, let me tell you why we're doing it.
Okay.
We're losing some money from the NEA. And we really, really, really want our kids' programs to go off without a hitch next year. I don't want to lose a single thing because of whatever's happened at the national level. I can't change it. I'm just going to try to get through it. So we hope that this game will raise about $20,000, give or take, and also really celebrate, you know, it's the bicentennial year and all that. Celebrate these Quincy businesses that help the arts all the time. So, you know, whenever there's an arts project, these same names, these same companies are right there with us. They're like Refreshment Services Pepsi, great example. They sponsor the show, but they sponsor all kinds of great arts activities. Knapheide, I mean, what has Knapheide not done for this community? And when you have amassed a great company, you don't have to be generous to your community, but those people choose to be, and I can't say enough about it. So we're hoping to raise $20,000 through the sale of this game. They're only going to be $40 if you pick them up yourself. We'll have some drop-off spots. $50 if you want me to ship it. Totally cute game. They're actually oversized. They're larger than the regular Monopoly board. But you're going to love it, and you're going to love that every single game you buy basically sponsors half a classroom worth of an activity. Like, isn't that great?
It is great. I looked at it briefly when before you came by. I was looking at artsquincy.org, and it's a big thing right there on the front page of the website. So if you can't visualize what we're talking about, you can see a little bit more at artsquincy.org, and you can really find out more about that. So.
And get those pre-orders. They're also limited. Like, I have to commit to my number of how many I'm buying by the end of August to get them manufactured. So if you don't get your pre-order in, I can't guarantee you'll get one. So please do that. We sold, in fact, the first day that we talked about it, we sold 130 games in one day. So I'm excited that people are excited, but they are limited. I can't go past whatever number I put in. It's very nerve-wracking, I have to tell
right,
you.
Right, right.
This reminds me of my days in retail.
Yeah.
I was at Hallmark for a long time. But that's that. You talked about Pepsi, so I wanted to shout out the good folks at Pepsi.
No, that is. You get a spot on the board for Sandy's at 30th and Broadway, and I think people will love you even more.
See, I'm telling you. We'll probably, I already know. I'm going to do a secret. I always do my secrets on the radio. Listen, you should never tell me secrets. But some of the places that are super good to us already, like WTAD, may show up in some community chest cards or chance cards just because we love y'all.
I love you too, Laura, for that. I'll tell you why. So, yeah.
That's what he gets for calling me sophisticated.
That's right. So basically, for a community chest, you get to be on WTAD and you get to talk all day.
You have to literally leave your game and come over to the studio
and
be on the show.
And talk all day is what you do. So yeah, that's what we stand
for. We should
put
like golden tickets where you have to come and be on the radio. Oh, people would come
at me. Yeah, just coming up to you, people buzzing the doorbell. I hate Laura. And then you come on in and we let you go. So.
It's funny. People ask me how I talk on the show all the time. I'm like, I forget that there's even people listening until they stop me in Hy-Vee and say, I heard you on Mary Griffin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You have got a lot of activities
going on
here, including we kind of covered it tonight with the Bicentennial Speaker Series out at John Wood.
Yeah, absolutely. We just had our event at Jackson Lincoln Pool yesterday, and we got to have the Bicentennial Timeline. What great programming they've really come up with for this entire series. The speaker series goes on. There are dates at least through September, I think, of continuing speaker series. But this next one is Dr. Steve Belko and Dr. Sam Wheeler, and they're doing a program called Was Lincoln a Dictator? I happen to share a birthday with Abraham Lincoln, so I'm just going to say no, he was not. We're buddies. I can't say that.
Understand that.
But they're going to debate their case, and I think that's a really fun way to approach history and learning about history is to debate an idea like that. So absolutely go check it out. It is Wednesday at 6:30. That's today.
That is tonight.
Today.
Yes, that
long
is.
A week already.
I know.
Totally free to attend 6:30 at John Wood.
Yeah, it'll be entertaining. You'll probably be swayed in both ways because both will have pretty compelling arguments, I'm thinking, based on my knowledge, but it will not be settled by leg wrestling, so don't count on that.
Well, then I'm out.
I understand.
I want to see him fight.
I understand, Laura. I understand. Also at the Quincy Community Theater, times for us to go back in time a little bit and do some singing and warbling.
That's right. One of the great pleasures of working in the Oakley Lindsay Center is seeing these shows come together, and Jersey Boys is going to be killer. I know that they're starting to sell out some dates, so like the Friday, Saturdays are always usually first to go. But this is happening this weekend, July... No.
Yes.
Yes. What is the date? What day is today? Listen, I was on a vacation last week, and I have lost all track of everything. It starts this
I only
Thursday.
Know the date because it's right in front of me on a computer screen.
I forgot
That's
what
why.
Day today was. I
That's
see what
why.
Day it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what today is.
Yeah.
So anyway, July 10th through 13th and the next weekend as well. This is a Tony Award-winning musical, so about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. You're going to know all the songs. I hear them in the hallways, and I'm like, can't take my eyes off of you.
That's right. It's amazing with Frankie Valli because it's like, you've got the backup singers, and then you've got Frankie, who's like 5'5", but then it's like this huge voice comes out of him.
And Sherry Baby is one of theirs, right? And my mom's name was Sherry, so I've always loved Sherry Baby. I like all these great songs you're going to love. Drama, music, magic, I mean, it's got it all. Get those tickets now, 222-3209. Stop by the box office in the Oakley Lindsay Center and get those tickets, or hop online at 1QCT.org.
That's right, and real quick, tomorrow night as well, down in America's hometown of Hannibal, their Music Under the Stars concert series continues in the Boyhood at Home stage right there in downtown.
I love this series. We go down there and have a nice time, and we always eat at the dinette, which is like my kids just love the root beer. You know?
Sure.
It's about that root beer. But the is a huge range of acts. This one is called The Lucky Old Sons. They're a four-piece band focused on oldies and mid-20th century. They got Elvis, Chuck Berry, Fats Domino, Jerry Lee Lewis, so many others. Food vendors are at each concert if your kids don't make you go get get root beer up the street first. Totally fun. And if they have bad weather, they actually have a backup location at Admiral Kuntz. So really easy to take part in that there in Hannibal.
Right, and that's just down the street a little bit. So you head a little south, and there you go. So,
that's right.
So, yeah, going on through, I believe, the end. Oh, no, through August 7th. Through August 7th here. And, of course, we haven't even gotten time to mention the fact that Blues in the District is Friday night. And then the Park Band Sunday in Madison Park.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back for Park Band. I have missed a few with some travel, but I'll be back this Sunday holding down the third chair in the French horn section.
There you go.
A lot of fun, and Quincy Park Band always bringing a great concert.
All right, and so, in the next time you talk with Mary, you will hear a dissertation about her performance on the Triangle last Sunday.
I missed it. I was in Alabama, but somebody still texted me, Mary's here with the Triangle. So
yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, very, very good.
It's not her first Park Band rodeo.
That's true.
So.
That's very, very true. And they will be raising money for the new band shell that they want to build there in the Madison Park as well.
Yeah, you may know that I'm one of the celebrity fundraisers for the band shell.
Aha.
I have raised $10,000.
Really?
And if they don't give me this baton, I'm going to lose it. So you guys keep putting money in my bucket. Keep putting money in there because I want the baton. They want me to conduct some Sousa, okay? And I said, okay, I know you want me to do a march, but what if I get, you know, a good number of dollars, which I feel like I'm getting there,
mm-hmm.
I really want to conduct Raiders March.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I said, John, what do I got to raise?
Yeah.
So that I can do Raiders March instead. And he's he hasn't named a number yet, but you help me out and get me there. And not that I don't love some Sousa. Everybody loves Sousa. I saw John Williams in concert last year, and I want to do Raiders March so badly.
Name dropper. I understand.
Oh, so cool.
I understand, though. But
John Williams name drops all the time. He's like, oh, me and Harrison were hanging out. And you're like, Harrison Ford? You're hanging out? Like,
that's right.
Thanks for that, buddy.
We were talking about old men things.
And George Lucas walks in, and we're just...
That's George right there. So,
yeah.
Folks, if you want to find out more about everything, just go to artsquincy.org, especially about the Quincy Monopoly game, Quincyopoly. You will enjoy it. Once you see it, you're going to be hooked, and you want to buy your own copy as well. So,
thank you so much about that. It's going to be fun, and it's really going to help our program stay solid next year. We give a field trip to every single K-5 student in all of Adams County, not just public schools, private, parochial, county schools. And I don't want to miss any of that next year, so help us do it.
There you go. Laura Sievert, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much. 9:31, we'll update you on the first reading of the farm markets. That's on the way on WTAD. And time to find out more about what's going on at the Bluff City Theater in Hannibal, 212 Broadway, and we've got a bunch of folks who are in studio to tell us more about that, including Camden Cyphers. Good morning, Camden.
Good morning.
Also here is Eileen Engel. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning.
And the guy behind it all, you hear him a lot talking about this, it's Clark Crookshanks. Good morning, sir.
How's by you?
Doing all right. Coming up this, actually starting tomorrow, it is the presentation of the last 5 years, and this is a musical. Clark, you're going to be directing that.
That's right. Every once in a while, you catch lightning in a bottle, and I think we've done it with this. This cast, I haven't laughed as hard during a rehearsal period in a long time. There have been tears, too, but very funny cast, a really good bond between these two, and the music director, Randon Lane, very young guy from St. Louis. They just clicked right away, and you can see that in the performances.
Very, very nice. So basically, without spoiling anything at the end, what is the last 5 years? What is this about? And anybody who wants to chime in, can say.
So the last 5 years is a really beautiful, intimate show that was written by Jason Robert Brown, who's a brilliant composer. He wrote this story based on his first marriage and one of his first loves, and it's a very intimate depiction of two individuals that are very young, that fall in love very early and move things a little bit too fast, and, you know, find out there's some incompatibilities, and ultimately this musical spans the, you know, the beginning of a marriage to end over 5 years. The really interesting part of how the story is told is that because there's only two of us, we get to see the two different sides of the story. My character, Jamie, starts by telling the story at the beginning of the marriage, and my wife Kathy starts at telling it at the end, and so there's a lot of intersecting timelines, and you get to kind of have a beautiful mix of tragedy and romance all at the same time.
Plus there are moments when you can see what's coming, and it's just heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you see how excited they are about this new relationship, and you already know how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is very rare in any form of a literature or theater. So.
Yeah, to start the show with heartbreak is very unique.
Really, one of the greatest anti-opening numbers in the history of the musical theater.
Truly.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What a ringing endorsement.
Just come and try your eyes out.
It is funny, I swear.
Yeah. So, Eileen, how often is Camden's character wrong in the show?
I think they're both equally wrong, but I think he's more outwardly wrong than Kathy is. I don't want to give away too much of the plot, though.
Sure, sure.
He's just more motivated. I mean, he's got a we talk about this a lot. He's got a checklist. You know, the things that he wants to do before he's 25, and unfortunately, finding a shiksa goddess, you know, a non-Jewish, sexy Aphrodite, he calls her, is on that list. And like Camden said, he, you know, checks off that box a little too quickly.
So is your character then in the show Jewish?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Okay, so there's some built-in conflict right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I think the first song that actually Jamie has on stage really talks about as his trials and tribulations with trying to follow his parents' goals and find a nice Jewish gal to settle down with, and
scandalizes the Jewish community center of Spring Valley.
It's a big taboo, absolutely,
to
marry somebody outside of that practice.
So is this just you mentioned Spring Valley? You were going to say New York, is that right? So
yeah, that's where Jamie is from in the show. I'm not sure where Jason Robert Brown actually is from. I think he is from upstate,
somewhere around there.
And Kathy's character is from the Eastern Shore of New Jersey.
Gotcha. Yeah, the show really takes place in the heart of Manhattan.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Is it the time period, or does that matter?
It doesn't matter a lot to me. It matters more to, hey, Jason. It matters a lot more to Jason Robert Brown. I mean, he did, you know, this show's running on Broadway now, too.
Oh, great.
And he did make some concessions to make changes to set it in today. But, you know, when he wrote this, cell phones were still very rare. You know, email, laptops, everything. I mean, we have old clunky cell phones in the show, but it makes it a little more of an interesting piece. It's his preference that it's set in the late 90s.
Okay.
You know, but I think any time around that, you know, the 2000 area. Because, I mean, it's amazing. You can't imagine a world without that stuff anymore. And it really has only happened in, like, the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Clark and I can remember when cell phones used to come in a big bag and you only needed them for, like, really special occasions.
Yeah, I had the one with the antenna that looked like a walkie-talkie. The military cost about $4,000.
You guys laugh, but he was special with that thing because it could be reached. Mm. Now, of course, it's the opposite thing. It's like, I'm not special. I can be reached anywhere. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they you relied more on pagers, where it was like somebody would type out a message to
PDAs
you.
PDAs and pagers, yeah.
Yeah, and then it was like, I got to find a... So, yeah, it's just... But, yeah, I can see that. So, where it's like things were evolving. But just the fact that, Camden, your character has a checklist and is so young, I'm imagining that's a lot of the conflict, that it's like the character is so driven, like... I got to finish this list.
Absolutely. I mean, well, so Jamie is a young, budding author, and, you know, the story starts with, like, his success kind of skyrocketing out of nowhere.
Oh.
At the same time, you know, his love interest, Kathy, is an aspiring actress, and her, you know, being an actor in Manhattan is not an easy thing to do. Being an author isn't either. But, you know, her success isn't moving as fast as his.
And there's a lot of jealousy with that, which causes a lot more tension in the relationship.
Sure, sure, of course. I was just going to say that often is the case where one person is much more successful.
Mm-hmm.
Either one kind of, and it's so hard in that age group of in the 20s because your dream is so fresh still. And it's like, it's there and I can achieve it. But then it's like you see one person, I'm sure, sees that slowly draining away while the other one is like, I'm having a great time. I'm doing exactly what I dreamed I would be doing. So another source of conflict, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with being so young, too. I mean, our fontanelles haven't even closed yet fully. So, you know, there's still a lot of, you know.
Mine hasn't either, oddly.
Yeah. Well, that's all about you there. Yeah.
So don't be surprised, folks, if you see both lead characters wearing helmets during the performance. They've got to be safe. So this is very important.
Safety first.
Safety first. Exactly. Exactly. It's 9:42. We're talking about the Bluff City Theater's presentation of the last 5 years, kind of set vaguely in the waning years of the 20th century and the first years of the 21st century, and about too much too soon. Would that be a good way to kind of characterize it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So, and... We've kind of spoiled the thing. It's like, you know, when Camden said the first marriage, it's like, been through that. Okay. So, yeah. So I'll tell you what we will do. We'll go ahead and take a break. We'll be back with more. We'll talk more about this presentation and a little bit more about the theater in general and how you guys manage to not only stay afloat but thrive with the conditions that you have and what you present to the people and what you're not asking of people. So that and a lot more on the way here on the Mary Griffith Show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy in for Mary, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, distributed by Refreshment Services Pepsi, in studio now from the Bluff City Theater at 212 Broadway in Hannibal. Camden Cyphers, Eileen Engel, and Clark Cruikshank talking about the presentation of The Last 5 Years, a musical by Jason Robert Brown, starting tomorrow night, running Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and a Sunday matinee as well. The evening performances at 7:30 and the matinee Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Bluff City Theater. Clark, you mentioned during the break that there is another element of basic New Yorkness that kind of permeates its way through this performance.
Yeah, we discovered in rehearsal that Jason Robert Brown is a big fan of Billy Joel. And I mean, and if there's a quintessential New York composer, it's Billy Joel. So you can really hear the influence in this piece. This is a fairly early Jason Robert Brown piece, right?
Yeah.
He'd written Parade, and he was very popular for that. And I think he was going to a meeting with his agent, and this idea for this show just kind of sprung fully loaded in his head. But, yeah, there's a song in the show called I Can Do Better Than That, that the structure is almost exactly like scenes from an Italian restaurant on the Stranger album.
Wow. And it's like the more time passes, the more you find out more about Billy Joel and some of his influences. Like, for instance, I learned not too long ago, like within the past month, that Big Shot was kind of based on Bianca Jagger. So I didn't know that until now. But then it's like you listen back and it's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, I get that now. Because that scene, like at Studio 54, kids don't remember.
Well, not a lot. There's some people didn't live through that, so.
Yeah, but it was odd. I mean, there's a famous picture of Studio 54. Everybody went there. There's a picture of Alice Cooper talking with Gene Stapleton. Gene Stapleton played Edith Bunker on All in the Family, which was like, you know, like a family sitcom in the 70s. And it's like she's talking to Alice Cooper in his full makeup in the 70s. And she's not dressed like her straight-laced character. She's dressed like she belongs at Studio 54. I'll just put it that way. So that is really, really neat that you get that sense of New York in the 80s and 90s as well. You know,
it's a character in the show. It really is. Mm-hmm. And we've tried to reflect that in the set and the way that we're presenting the music and making it very much a part of it.
Yeah.
And it is almost all music. I'd say the dialogue is maybe less than 5 minutes of the show is dialogue.
Yeah. We're pretty much singing our hearts out from beginning to end.
boy, do they, too.
And it's only about an hour and a half, so it's a shorter, more intimate show.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that must help with your vocal strain as well for both of you.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of stamina.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's a little early for them, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, it's an instrument like anything else, and you got to take care of it. So
exactly.
It's like, so it's, you know, I imagine the most fun time is going to be Saturday night and then the Sunday matinee, where it's like, don't talk to me.
Yeah, Sunday matinee. There's going to be a lot of tea consumed.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't talk to me. I'm resting my voice. So.
And the music is really, I mean, it's almost a rock opera. I mean, it's written, the style of it is very popular music, rock. There are some that are nods to like 40s musicals and that sort of thing, but the range is ridiculous. The vocal range is ridiculous, and it's not common to find singers that can handle it, but we got them here. So
wow, that's some high praise, because to have a range like that, it's not easy. You know, it's as you guys know far more than I do. Yeah. So it's just like, I mean, how much of that is gifted and how much of that is work on your part?
Both.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Yeah, I would say, you know, you kind of have to have some type of innate ability born to you, but it comes from exercise and muscle, just mm-hmm. like any part of your body, you know. And I truthfully haven't performed like this and done a show on stage in over 6 years. Funny enough, it was this show that I did 6 years ago. But I remember when, you know, I got the part, I was on the treadmill trying to build up those muscles again, that vocal stamina.
Sure.
Because it is a beast.
I had a voice teacher in college that said any singer probably has about 6 days a year where he's in perfect voice, and the training is for the other, you know, 359 days. A year.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, the good news is you reach the older you get up to a certain point, you know, with use, it actually improves from what I understand. It's like, you know.
That wasn't the prevailing school of thought years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was taught, you know, very few singers would exist past 50 years old. But you say, you know, I saw Billy Joel on his 60th birthday and he was still kicking butt.
Right.
So and you do have a little bit of a second wind, mm-hmm. You know, as things happen to your. You know, to you as you age. Yeah.
But your
yeah.
voice
yeah.
changes, yeah, and yeah. sometimes for the better in different ways, yeah. ways you're not expecting. I don't know, Camden makes it look easy, so.
Yeah.
Well, that's very, very nice. The old joke amongst broadcasters about your voice is that basically it's like, you know, a little cigar and hard liquor helps your voice in some way.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
It actually does. It kind of roughs up your vocal cords a little, just a little bit. Don't overdo it, but just a little bit of that, and, you know, It helps you from sounding too young, basically, is what's going
your
on with that
racking.
One. So you mentioned that this is, Camden, the first play you've been performing in 6 years. Is this just an instance of this opportunity came along and otherwise in between life kind of got in the way?
I mean, a little bit. So I currently live in New York. I'm from the area. Clark and I have been good friends for over 13 years now.
Yeah.
This is technically our fourth show we've worked on. And funny enough, I don't even know how many years, 7 years ago, there was a time I was directing a show, and I had somebody drop out last minute, and right before opening, and I remember calling Clark up, and I was like, hey, can you quickly learn this role and hop on stage? And he was like, absolutely. And he did, and he saved my show. And something similar happened with him with this show, where somebody had dropped out, and we connected, and it all worked out. And so it kind of felt like it was a full circle moment to kind of come back and do this with Clark. And but yeah, it's such a great show that I love so much. I couldn't pass it up.
So it the favor has been repaid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cashing it in.
All right. Eileen, does Clark have anything on you that you need to repay later on?
I'm collecting that intel as we go along.
All righty. That's what a wily veteran does. They collect stuff on people and use it as their opportunity. So
yeah.
This sounds like a really wonderful show, especially if you're going to enjoy a lot of comedy, a little bit of heartbreak, knowing that going in, and kind of reliving some times back in the 90s, early 2000s, things like that, fused with Billy Joel the last 5 years. Free tickets, you can get them online at BluffCityTheater.com this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, 7:30, and a Sunday matinee for this Sunday at 2, and then next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening performances at 7:30 at the Bluff City Theater, 212 Broadway in Hannibal. We're going to talk about the theater a little bit more now. The fact is that I said free tickets.
Yeah.
And how do you go about doing this when you don't charge admission?
Well, you know, a lot of it happened during COVID. But the main thrust of it is to get people to walk in the door of the theater that may never have or don't even know what a live theater is like. They don't know the difference between, you know, going to a movie theater and going to a live show. So a theater up in Minneapolis, right around when COVID started, called Mixed Blood Theater, decided to try this model, and they got the income they needed through grants and donations. And so Joe Anderson, our executive director at the time, it's Jamie Brown now, she's the artistic director, but Joe said, we're going to try this model, and I think it's been going, this is the fifth or sixth season. I mean, there are challenges, because, you know, I think when somebody says, oh, this is free, you know, it's like the couch by the side of the road, free to pick up. You know, people think maybe it doesn't have the value that something that costs money does, but that's the point. We want to give you something of artistic value for free, and Camden and I talk about the Snickers bar power bar analogy. You know, to get people into the theater, you want to give them the Snickers bars. And once they're there, you want to say, hey, these power bars are pretty good, too, and they're really better for you. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we
yeah.
can sneak in the social content and all that sort of thing. But we have to do things that people want to see and want to hear, too.
Yeah, and I mean, you've had challenges with the theater that most other theaters, it doesn't quite happen, but you've overcome them. I remember it was for a few years you were in the quest just to have better seating, actual physical seats.
Yeah, we had old wooden seats from the 30s that came out of the high school. People were smaller in the 30s, hello. Yeah. And they were, you know, we had people that, you know, would say, I'm not coming back until you get new seats. So now we have new seats. You know, they have cup holders, and they, we actually give you things to put in those cup holders if you're so inclined. So you can actually have a little cocktail during the show if you want to.
Very nice.
Old movie theater seats, I think, so they're pretty comfy. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Well, that's the whole discussion about people were smaller back in the day because of the difference between Snickers bars and power bars.
That's one reason why.
So, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, just the fact that putting on a presentation like this, there's other things behind it for the, you know, the fact that musical rights, you have to talk about that and getting copies of the script. That's not free.
No, and it doesn't always go smoothly either. I mean, a lot of that stuff, again, I'll blame COVID for some of it, but a lot of those offices cut back their staff way back, and there's like one person that pulls all the librettos and pulls all the scores and sends them out, and that's still very old school. You know, we're used to getting you know, our scripts on our devices now, but these are, you know, you have to erase all your pencil markings still before you send it back, or they'll charge you. So yeah, that it's not easy, and getting the rights. I mean, if somebody else is doing the show around you, they aren't likely. And Jason Robert Brown is very hands-on with what he allows, you know, with this thing, and very watchful about it. So we have to be careful. You know, the temptation is to update some of these lyrics, you know, to make them more relevant, but he frowns on it.
Yeah, and I get that. I can see that, and you know, both sides of it. It's like you do want it to be relevant, but at the same time, you know, that the playwright, that's his baby.
It's a period piece to him.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. It's a historical piece.
And
almost.
It's his life. It's a life story for him, you know, so
it really
it's very personal at the end of the day, even though it is his work, it's also his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated with performance artists and musical artists and things like that, and just how brave they are to put their life out on paper or out on music into the public realm and saying, this is me, this is what happened to me. Like somebody like Eminem, whether you like his rapping style or not.
Yeah.
The fact that he is talking about everything that happened in his life, you know, most people, you kind of want to hug that like a bear and not really share it, but other people are just like, here it is. See what you think about it.
Well, and this one kind of hit a roadblock a little early on. It was workshopped in Chicago in 2000, 2001. Mm-hmm. And then his ex-wife heard about it and said, this is a little too on the nose. So, you know, put an injunction against the production, insisted on some changes being made, and it finally went on the following year. But it was sidetracked for a while.
One of the
original performers couldn't do the show because they had to wait for it. But,
Wow. And you know what's sad? My first thought was, did some money help make the situation better? That was my first thought.
I know. That's always the
suspicion. Some changes had to be made as well. There were some songs that were obviously she felt were too close to her that had to be adjusted. And now and those songs have since been released actually on later albums. But, you know, he had to kind of change the narrative just a little bit to make it a little
so
bit more feasible.
So does that enticing whiff of scandal to draw you into the theater? Yeah,
and I get what she's feeling. I'm kind of like in that second camp. It's like, wait a minute, I don't want that known, you know, for whatever reasons I have, insecurity or whatever. I get her feelings, but I understand that. Folks, have yourself a great time. See the difference between a movie and live theater. There's nothing like it. And you need to see it at the last 5 years, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at the Bluff City Theater, 212 Broadway, Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock, and then next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30, 212 Broadway, the Bluff City Theater, Camden Cyphers, Eileen Engel, Clark Crookshanks, thank you all very, very much. It's been an absolute joy. Thank you, guys.
Thank you
for having us.
You betcha. The latest news from Fox is next. It's 10 o'clock. Good morning.